The following presentation was recorded live at the River Worship Center in Warsaw, Indiana. We now join the message already in progress.
Prayed, and I'm telling you, we had some people praying in Florida, people praying in Michigan, had people stopping by the house to pray, had people from other churches praying, had a fellow that went to another church in town. He said, "I'm over at Walmart. Do you need anything?" Like, no, we're pretty good. He went to Myers. He says, I'm over here at Myers. Do you need anything?" "No, we're still good." You know, he came back and he went past my favorite place, and he says, "Hey," he goes, "they got ceviche. You want me to bring you some ceviche?" I'm like, "Honest, I'm good, and it is great to be in the family of God." Amen. You know, I've got natural family. There was a fellow down in Wabash. He heard that we had it, and he says, "Hey, do you need some soup? Do you need this? Do you need that?" And I was like, no, listen, I'm good. I'm really good. I just want to get my blanket and sit in my chair, scratch my dog a little bit, you know, because he's taking care of me too. But people from all over were sending love and prayer. And I tell you what, I covet your prayers, because I could feel a difference when people started praying. When people started intervening on our behalf and raising your name up to the Lord, you can feel a difference. The tide turned, amen? And when the tide turns, praise God. I was talking with the elders this morning. You'll never know what it's like to have a victory until somebody intercedes for you and the tide turns and the devil has to let you go. Well, I don't got a lot of voice today, so we're probably going to get out of here. You know, I used to kid about get you out to the restaurant before the Presbyterians. You're probably going to do that today, but it's just because I don't got a lot of voice. But what I have to say is powerful, amen? Powerful and mighty through the Holy Ghost. And we need to know, and we need to understand, and we need to realize that as God lives, we have hope. Amen. As the Lord lives, we have hope. And I was talking with some people. You know, I don't disavow medical things. I've worked in the medical industry for 40 years. I don't disavow that. But there comes a time when if the Lord doesn't intervene, you're not going to be well. There's a time that we're going to go out of this world. There's a time when if the Lord doesn't intervene, we're not going to go one step further. The Apostle Paul said, there was given to me a messenger of Satan to buffet me. And he said, "I prayed three times that the Lord would take it away." And the Lord said, "My grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient." So the Apostle Paul had a messenger assigned to him. Now that doesn't fill a lot of churches. That doesn't sell a lot of CDs. But that's the Word of God. And a lot of people begin to think in today's society, if you got something wrong or you get sick or something happens to you, you're not fit for the dog to bark at. But let me just tell you something. The Lord knows where you're going. He knew before I was born 59 years ago that I was going to be here today. And he's known every step I've taken in the middle of that. Amen? Amen. Every step that brought me here, every step that brought you here, every step that has brought us together, the Lord has ordained. Now, sometimes it's like a country song. Sometimes we've taken the broken road, haven't we? Sometimes it's like God bless the broken road. But aren't you glad today that you're in the house of the Lord? Aren't you glad today that even though there's still some sickness out and a bone graft being done and all that other stuff, that God is on his throne?
Amen.
Now, I hope today that you're going to be blessed. I know that the word is powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. And I know today, Whether I'm capable of delivering the message right, if you'll adhere to the Scripture, only the Scripture, there's enough power in the Scripture to change this world. Amen? There's enough power in the Scripture of God to change our environment, to change our perspective, to give us a new hope. Amen? So let's pray before we go. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for each and every one that's gathered here today. Lord, I thank you for those who were faithful and those who lifted us up and brought us through this valley. Lord, I thank you as Aaron and Hur lifted up the arms of Moses, we're still able to fight. And Lord, we thank you that you're still on your throne. Lord God, I ask right now that you give each and every one watching on the broadcast and watching in the sanctuary this morning, that you would give them ears to hear and hearts and minds that would understand what the Spirit says today. In Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen. If you have your scriptures with you, big part went out today with Ashley. If you have your scriptures, turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy, the fourth chapter. And by way of those of you on the internet and on the FM broadcast, God bless you. We're back among the land of the living. So, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Amen. Now the Spirit, you notice Spirit is capitalized in there. That means it's a particular Spirit. It's not just any Spirit. They're talking about the Holy Ghost. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits. Notice the deceiving spirits are plural and they're small case, and doctrines of demons. I hear a lot of people talking about this. I hear a lot of people, they want to blow over that. Oh, in the latter days, people are going to give heed to seducing or deceiving spirits. What happens when someone gives themselves over to a seducing or a deceiving spirit? And you know where it happens? The deceiving spirits are not attacking outside the church. They're inside the church. They're trying to pervert the truth. Well, and we've had people that, not to this building, they never came here, but the other building, we've had people that say, well, I just don't think that that's right. I know what the Bible says, but I just don't think that that's right. As a matter of fact, I think that it is like this. And they went and talked to elders in this church and converted elders to their way of thinking. All the while, it was seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. We've got to be on guard. The Spirit expressly says, everyone who intends to please God and to make it through to heaven needs knowledge of seducing spirits. You need to understand who your enemy is. You need to understand who you're fighting. You know, if we go out and hopefully we're going to get to do something. I'm seeing good ice for a month, Pastor. I'm seeing good ice. And I know there are little fish under those ice. But if we go out and we go, and Pastor says, hey, come on, the bay's all frozen over. Come bring your shanty up. Come on out. Let's go do some fishing. And I bring the shanty up, and I get out there, and I don't have any poles. What are you going to fish with? Well, I brought my 12-gauge. See, I'm coming out improperly armed for the game that I wish to take. A lot of people going out improperly armed and ill-prepared for the battle at hand. Amen? And so we have to understand then that seducing spirits, we've got to understand who they are, what they are, and what they're trying to do. All right? If we want to go to heaven, we've got to have knowledge. We need knowledge of seducing spirits. Until billions have been turned loose on the human race already, working day and night, seducing spirits strive to influence everyone they can to depart from the faith, that is the faith of God, the true Word of God, and the living God. They strive to make people depart. And we've seen it, we've witnessed it firsthand. Amen? Seducing and deceiving spirits are, are those lying demonic spirits that take over people. And they reverse the truth that they've been given. They reverse the truth that you've been given. They reverse the truth in their minds and in their spirit. And they make the truth seem false. How many times have we talked to people? How many times have we been ministering to people? How many times have we been evangelizing people? And they're saying, I don't believe it's like that. I think it's like this. I don't believe it's like that. You know, it doesn't matter what you believe. If it goes against the word of God, it is from the devil. We need to come against everything that lifts its voice and lifts its head against the knowledge of Christ. Everything. Even if it's me. If I get out into an apostate vein, I expect that the elders will say, hey, look, buddy, you, what are you doing here? What's going on here? This is what the word says. You're not preaching the word. I expect for your protection and for mine that the elders would say, hey, look, you are off on a limb. You are off in some foxhole. You need to get back and get according to the word. As a matter of fact, we've got a provision in the church that allows that to happen. If there is apostasy forming, we've got to cut it out. Beginning with me, if it's me. I pray God it's not me, because we only preach the word of God. We only preach that. We don't have a headquarters sending us literature that we have to, okay, we're going to preach on, you know, page number 715 this week. But the Apostle Paul said that we have to study to show ourselves to be approved. We also have to use the discerning of spirits so that we can understand when something comes to you. You know, the devil will never come to you in a scary red outfit with a forked tail and a pitchfork. You know, that's too easy for us to recognize. But the devil will come to you like he did to Eve in Genesis chapter 2 and said, has God really said? He doesn't try to kick down the door. He tries to come in subtly. You'll notice that in Genesis chapter 2, your Bible says that the serpent was more subtle, more cunning, more crafty than all the rest of the creatures. Isn't that amazing? We guard against those things that are full-on frontal attacks, don't we? We guard against those. You'll never see my picture in a paper where I robbed a bank. Devil knows he can't tempt me there. You'll never see a picture of your pastor where the devil tempted him to hold up a train or a bus or whatever, a Brinks truck. Just doesn't work. You know where you might find fault in me? If I didn't, the devil says, hey, you know what? You prayed about that last week. You don't need to pray. Subtle. You know what? You can skip. You're reading a lot of the Bible in the Daily Fire. You're reading a lot of the Bible. You can take today off. You know, 7 days without prayer makes one weak. W-E-A-K. 7 days makes one week. W-E-E-K. But 7 days without prayer and 7 days without your Bible study and 7 days without meaningful prayer unto God. Meaningful prayer. You know, we don't hear anybody even talking about meaningful prayer. What's meaningful prayer? That's prayer when you forget about self and you start praying about everybody else. When JC forgets about JC, by the way, when Vanessa and I pray before we go to bed each night, I don't mention me, I mention you. You know what? You said, well, now we got some visitors here today. How do you mention me? And I said last night, I said, Lord, and thank you for those who will be coming that I don't even know yet. You were prayed for. You were prayed for this last night, and you'll be prayed for again tonight. And we lift you guys up every day. Pray for the ministry team. Call you out by name. God, whatever you have need of, that God would bless you. Pray for our landlords. Pray for each and every one of you every night. And no wonder we have to start going to bed at 6 o'clock. We got a lot to pray for. So, pray for you every day. I don't, and you know what? Last couple weeks, I felt your prayers coming back. And it felt, Pastor, it felt so good. Because when I was weak, then I was strong. When I was weak, the Apostle Paul said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. And I could feel the prayers of people praying all over the world, all over the country. We got people in Nigeria that were praying. We got people all over that were praying. I'm like, who am I? I don't deserve that. I'm just a man in love with the Lord who loves his people. Love you guys. Love has become such a byword. Matter of fact, if Brother Bob was here today, I could ask him. He's probably watching on the broadcast, but his own family, a lot of times they say, love you, Papa, love you, love you. And he knows they don't mean it. Because generally followed up by I love you is, can I have some money? That's not the best way to tell somebody you love them or mean it. But when you feel the prayers of the saints of God coming back, you know, that's something I don't know that everybody can sense that, Pastor. I don't know that people that aren't full of the Spirit of God can sense when somebody is praying for you, intervening for you, standing in the gap for you. Anybody been over in Nehemiah lately? Standing in the gap? Priceless. Priceless. What can I say? Thank you. I love you guys. And just know that every day you're prayed for. Every day you're prayed for without fail. Sicker than a dog with the Rona, you're prayed for every day. I thank God. One guy said, I had an unction. We need more people to have unctions. Amen. One guy said, I had an unction. You just sit right there in your chair. I need to pray. And he prayed and he called on our great God Jehovah. He called on our healer. He called on the Holy Spirit to come and cleanse this thing out of our place. And you could feel the Spirit moving. You could feel the atmosphere cleansing. You could feel things changing. Thank you for being obedient. But deceiving spirits and are those lying spirits. And they try to reverse the truth in people's minds and in their spirit. And they make the truth seem false. Then the lie or a falsehood is presented as real. Have you ever known anybody that believed a lie? Literally believed a lie. Is it any wonder then that your Bible says that they will believe a lie and they will be damned? Is there a correlation? There's a devil loose. There's a devil seeking to deceive, seeking to seduce, and put false doctrine into your mind. And if he can do it, you'll exchange the truth for a lie. Amen? Whenever they can, seducing spirits work through the influence of one person has on another. And they cause him or her to forget God's truth. Seducing spirits have taken over many people, making them feel justified in saying whatever they want, in slandering others with their words, convinced that what the seducing spirit has told them is completely true, and they feel no conviction from the Lord. And God cannot work through a man or woman that cannot feel his convicting spirit. Now, men can only bring condemnation. We need to understand that men can only bring, when somebody gives you a tongue lashing, that just brings condemnation. The wrath of men cannot bring righteousness. And we need to understand that. But when the Holy Spirit begins to convict your heart, when the Holy Spirit begins to say, you know what, you said that the other day and that was displeasing to me. And it's hard to get away from the convicting power of the Holy Ghost. And pray, God, that you never, ever, ever cannot feel the Holy Ghost convicting your heart and saying, child, listen, you're walking contrary to me. Child, you're trying to lean on your own understanding. Child, pray, God, that you never, ever, ever move out from under the covering or the anointing of God to where he can't convict your heart anymore. Because at that point, you have been taken over by a seducing spirit and you have given over to doctrines of devils. And I know people that are standing in a pulpit right now, standing in a pulpit preaching false doctrine, not because they intended to, but because they gave heed to seducing spirits and they're preaching doctrines of devils. We know it. Okay. How do you know that somebody is given over to a seducing spirit and a doctrine of devils? Verse number 2 tells you, they speak lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Forbidding to marry. I don't know if y'all know it or not, and I don't broadcast this a lot. Pastor Jerry, if he'll be here next week, he can confirm this for you. But we had to send a Christian objection to the jab to a church in Indianapolis for a young couple who wanted to do the right thing and get married. And because they weren't jabbed in the church, the pastor was not going to marry them, not going to allow them to marry. In the church. Does your Bible say forbidding to marry? Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Praise God, when they got the form, the conscientious objector, the religious exemption, praise God, they're married now. But it took a spirit-filled pastor getting a hold of another spirit-filled pastor to say, hey, these kids are wanting to do the right thing. They've saved themselves for marriage, and now they're not able to get married because they don't meet the requirement. And I'm like, hey, praise the Lord, we can take care of that. Who would have thought? Who would have thought in the church? Got to be careful because some have given themselves over to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils in the church. I mean, why would the devil want to fight the world? He's got the world. It doesn't make any sense. You know, he's not going to take a shotgun ice fishing. He's going to target the game that he wants. And let me just tell you, church, the game that the devil wants is you. All right. And commanding to abstain from foods which God has created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe. Now, here's a predication. But not only by those who believe, but who know the truth. What's the quintessential element of knowing the truth? Jesus said it, didn't he? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. There are too many people walking in bondage because they're believing a truth that is not God's truth. There are too many people walking around in bounds and in chains because they believed something that's not from God's word. I want you to be free. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. There's freedom. We can be free in this world because the Spirit of the Lord brings liberty. Amen. And when we know the truth will set you free. Okay. For every creature of God is good. Excuse me. And nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. I'll be thanking you not to present me blueberries. If it's received with thanksgiving, oh, thank you, Vanessa. I probably bought two or three semi-loads of blueberries and never tasted a one. I just don't do them, you know. If it's tea, don't be offended if I re-gift it back to you. I'm not a tea person. My granny down in eastern Kentucky spoiled me on tea. Ruined me. I can't do that tea thing. That sun tea. Anybody like sun tea? I don't know why grandma's sun tea tasted like liquid grass. Now, grandma had a thing on her thing of sugar. Remember those old sugar things? They're about this tall and about that big around. They had a little spout on the top of them, you know. And after my one cousin, by the way, if he's watching today, you'll have to say this is true. After my one cousin got him a nice, tall, 12-ounce tumbler of tea and a nice 8-ounce hit of sugar, he was able to drink his tea, and he loved tea. I'm like, I think you ain't got it right. That's not tea. That's green-colored Kool-Aid. There wasn't enough sugar to make that grass taste go away. Sorry. Not enough sugar, you know. You know what they say, though, right? You know, a spoonful of medicine helps the sugar go down. Oh, wait, that's when you get older and diabetes starts kicking in. Anyway, Mary Poppins said, you know, a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. But in your later years, it's a spoonful of medicine helps the sugar go down. Anyway, all right, just throwing that out. You might learn something at church in a weird way if you don't, not careful. Every creature of God is good. And nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Prayer. Now we get that. But what does sanctified mean? Remember our teaching? What does sanctified talk? Set apart. I'm setting this one apart for you, God said. And I'm really glad. We love crab legs and shrimp. Can you imagine Peter being up on the rooftop? Can you imagine Peter being up on the rooftop and seeing all the net being let down and all manner of meats and stuff? And he looks at the Lord and he says, Lord, I can't. I've never ate anything unclean. Lord, there are crab legs in there. And I don't know their word, but I think there are because I like them. Praise God for the new covenant. Amen? Amen. I'm making Sister Denise happy. I'm going to have to give her the secret location. Shrimps. Oh man, there were shrimps in there. Catfish. Peter says, Lord. Lord, I've never my hands have never touched it. My lips have never tasted anything unclean. And aren't you glad what the Lord told him? He says, what I have created, what I have called clean, let no man call unclean. He says, I'm fixing to show you a new covenant. I'm fixing to show you something that you can. Okay, I like some of you may not get the seafood thing, but I love bacon. Bacon, thank God for the new covenant. Don't let anybody call that unclean. Don't let anybody try to tell you that you can't have that according to the Scripture. That's not what the vision that Peter had on the roof when the net was let down. And because Peter saw it, we can do it. All things in moderation, of course. All right. Oh, we started early. I'm thinking, Lord, I got a lot of time. I don't. Calls me to preach myself silly. All right. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. Oh, when I saw that, when I got to that point, if we instruct the brothers, if we instruct the sisters in these things, then you'll be a good minister. What's our aim? What's our goal? To hear the Lord say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So I have to lay aside some things that maybe I had coming up like Peter that were right for the season, but the Lord said, "I'm doing a new thing. I'm opening up a new thing." Maybe we have to lay aside some of those things that we thought that we knew, but the Lord says, no. I'm opening up a new thing. I'm getting ready to do a new thing. And what the Lord does, and He does not do, except He reveals it to His prophets. Is that right? So when God's getting ready to do a new thing, you need to be in the house of the Lord, because He's going to reveal it through His men and His women. Nothing happens unless the Lord first reveal it. And what we're going through in 2022 is to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Then all these things will be added unto us. The Lord's getting ready to do a new thing. He gave us a word in the first part of January that He's going to do a new thing, and He's going to guide us around the pitfalls, the pratfalls, the traps that are laid for us by the enemy. Did He not? He said He was going to do that. And we've got several steps laid out for us that we know where to avoid in 2022, because the Spirit of the Lord has quickened some things into the man of God's heart. God's still on His throne. The Holy Spirit is real. Try as people deny to deny that the Holy Spirit is real. The Holy Spirit is real, and He's an ever-present help in our time of need and trouble. Amen. That's the God that we serve. All right? You will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, fed in the words of faith and the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. Not just haphazardly followed. Not just following what Grandpa taught. Not just following. They taught good. But there was a point. You see, we go through progressive learning in the States. We start in pre-K, then we go to kindergarten, then we go to first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade. You know, and some of us like them so much, we go through them again. Some of us, for the first 30 years of their life, they were in school, 28 of them. I mean, there was elementary school, high school, college, Bible college. There were, for 28 years, Learning. But let me give you a clue. I was never able to come to the knowledge of the truth until the Holy Spirit filled my heart. Constantly learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. The enmity of my mind, the enmity of the flesh, was constantly warned against the things of the Spirit. Oh, I don't want to do that. Oh, heavens, Lord, you cause us. You know, we're a charismatic bunch. If the Spirit of the Lord, sits upon my heart, I might dance like David danced. What did David say when Michal said, "You come out there and you dancing before all these ladies and you doing this and you doing that"? And you know what David said? He was bringing the glory of God back into Jerusalem. You know what he told her? He said, "You don't even understand." He goes, "I'll get even more undignified than this to serve my Lord, to please my Lord, to do what my Lord wants. You know, I'm not holding anything back from my Lord." But my mind warred against that. I've been taught people do that, they act a fool. I've been taught that people to do that, they just don't know what they're talking about. And you know what the thing about it is? A lot of people that talk about that say what they don't know. They get frustrated out of what they don't know, and they're afraid to receive what God has for them. We have to be able to change from here to here. We have to be able to hear with our heart, think with our heart, speak with our heart, because our mind will lie to us. If you read the statistics on a bumblebee, science will tell you that a bumblebee cannot fly. It is not aerodynamic. A bumblebee's wings are real little, and its body's real big. It should not be able to fly. Yet you come over around May Street in the spring, and I can show you one that will chase you around the yard and out into the street. Because he can fly. Now, my engineering school said a bumblebee can't really fly. So he's given the illusion of flight pretty good, isn't he? And I'm believing it. Because he darted me in the head a time or two. Now, you can tell by looking at me, I don't go to the gym every day. But just remember this. If you see me running, that means something dangerous is happening. Try to keep up. I only run when I'm being chased. And you get two or three of them bumblebees coming after you. Mm-hmm. You better take off. So, all right. Okay. We have some friends, and I'm going to go ahead and turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We have some friends, and they are friends. But they have fallen under the spell of a deceptive pastor from Korea. And I'm not going to mention him. I don't want to bring dispersion. But he has said, he has told them that you never need to repent of anything after you accept Jesus as your Savior. And I remember we were ministering to some people, pastor was especially. And a 20-minute open dialogue regurgitating that doctrine of a devil was played against my friend and a co-pastor here. It was a doctrine of a devil. You don't ever have to repent. Well, I got a problem then, because the Apostle Paul said he died daily to his sin. He confessed his sin every day. Lest after being preached, he would be set on a shelf. He died daily to his sin. John said in 1 John 1:9, if we sin, if we confess our sins, 1 John 1:9 was not written to unbelievers, it was written to believers. Yet they're following the doctrines of a devil that says, you're good. You can go out and commit murder and you're still good. You can do this, that, and the other, and you're still good. No. That's not what the Bible says. As a matter of fact, Luke and I went over to Mansfield, Ohio. And we picked up these altars from a church that had bought into that doctrine, and we're getting rid of them because we don't need the altars anymore. Let me just tell you, friends, the altars are for believers. These altars are always open. And you know what? You're liable to see your pastor down here and at these altars, because I need God every day. I need him more today than I did yesterday. And I'm going to need him more tomorrow than I did today. These altars are always open. That minister from Korea is telling them, you don't need to worry about it. You don't need to pray. You don't need to do this. You don't need to do that. And they bought into it. And it's a gospel of convenience that's going to send them to hell. They've been deceived, seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Let me just tell you, while we do not subscribe to that, and I don't believe anybody in here does, there are some people who may not subscribe to that, But in their heart, they believe that because there's been times when the Lord has said, I want you to come forward. I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you right here. The Lord said, I'll meet with you right here. And there have been people who, what would JC think if I went down there? Boy, he's going to think I'm a terrible sinner. He's going to, no. You know what I would think? You know what a Christian, any Christian in the house would think? Man, they need to get a hold of God, and I'm going to go down and help them. Amen. They need to get a hold of the Lord, and I'll be right there with them. There's no shame in coming to these altars. The only shame is having a place to have your needs met spiritually, physically, financially, mentally, healthily, having your needs met and walking away because pride is keeping you away. Well, what would Sister Judy say? And I've been in a church like that. I was in a church one time and I needed to get a hold of the Lord. I had a sick baby. And the only place that I felt comfortable talking to him, because he drew me, as it were, a moth to a flame. And when I got up, my boy was healed. But there was a lady in the church, a good lady. She goes, oh, son, what did you do? Son, what have you done? You know, I was a good deacon in the church at that time. Man, I was one of the best deeks there was. I did that deek thing to the best of my ability. It was all legalistic. It was all rules and regulations, but that's what deeks are supposed to do. And the dear sister comes up and says, oh, son, is there sin? You see, we've got to get rid of that connotation of these altars, because these altars are not for the lost. These altars are for the saved. You can't get a hold of the horns of the altars if you don't have the Holy Spirit in you and you're born again and Jesus is abiding in you. Only then can you get a hold of the horn of the altar. Only then can you be like a Hannah and said, Lord, give me a son lest I die. Only then can we reach heaven. And there is therefore now, right now, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, those who are called according to his purpose. These altars are always open. Amen. And therefore, believers. Oh. How can we have a disadvantage. This is going to sound weird, but we have a disadvantage in America. We're disadvantaged because we don't know what it's like to live under a sovereign. We are autonomous. We can believe what we want. We can say what we want. We can do what we want. You know, you're not the boss of me. Ever heard that? Ever said that? You're not the boss of me. I told somebody that the other day. And Vanessa turned right around and said, yes, I am. I'm like, okay, end of debate. I'm done. And don't you ladies amen too loud there. But anyway, we don't understand what it's like to live under a sovereign. Jesus is our King, and he's soon returning. I can't live for myself anymore, Pastor. I want to real bad. The flesh would sometimes say, you can do this and it'll be okay. But the closer I get to him, the more I want to please him. The closer I am in the reading and the word and in the prayer, and the closer I feel the Holy Spirit moving on me, the more I want to be with him. And I shared with the elders, you know, there was a point about a week ago, and I said, Lord, just let me stay here. I wanted to go home. I was ready. Just let me stay here. But he said, no. Your work's not done. And so from that point forward, I'm on a mission. I've got to finish the course. I've got to run with endurance the race that is set before me. I've got to teach the hard thing because it hasn't been taught. I've got to preach the salvation is in Jesus only. There's no other name given to men among heaven that whereby we must be saved except the name of Jesus. And I've got to teach the difficult thing that perilous times are coming. And they're upon us. But I know the God in whom I serve. And like the Apostle Paul, he has stood by me. And he has shown me that we will make it through this, but we have to stay in the boat. You have to stay in the boat. You can't be pretending to lighten the load and letting down the lifeboat to get in a lifeboat. The Apostle Paul said, listen, the ship's going to be crashed, but no life will be lost if you stay in the boat. And I'm telling you today, church, stay in the boat. That old ship of Zion, it's worthy. It's seaworthy. We don't understand what it's like to have a king. Our brothers in Nigeria, they know what it's like to have kings. Remember, Pastor Glenn led 32 of those kings to the Lord. Muslim kings led them to the Lord. They were chasing, hit squads were chasing him around Nigeria. Oh, they were trying to kill him because the devil was losing ground. That's not in my notes. I can't go down that path. I want to real bad. But you start taking ground from the devil, and he's going to assign you somebody to make your life miserable. Remember, the Apostle Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and he prayed 3 times. And the Lord said, "My grace is sufficient." But Lord, take this thing away. My grace is sufficient. But Lord, take this away. We can become too comfortable. We will never know what a victory is until we've come through the deepest, darkest battles. Amen? We will never know what it's like to be victorious until you feel the prayers of others lifting you up. You'll never know. And you know what the bad part about it is? Most people don't even realize it, don't know what they're missing, and couldn't care. But I can't make it without Jesus. Amen. I can't make it without Him. I'm not self-sufficient. One of the things the Lord's been dealing with me on, when we go out and we're witnessing to people, and Pastor beat me up a couple of weeks ago, in a good way, reminding me of the sermon that Vanessa and I rededicated our lives to 47 years ago. He was talking about there was a certain man that had a vineyard. And he said to the vine dresser, the vineyard owner is God and the vine dresser was Jesus. And he said, "Lo, 3 years I've been coming and looking at this tree." Now, when the Lord has a vineyard, he's talking about the church. He's not talking about lost people. God doesn't plant lost people in his vineyard. Now, he did graft in some wild olives, thank God. Right? He grafted in a wild olive. And my granny used to say I was wilder than a March hare. Right? The pastor reminded me of something. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, he said, 3 years I've been coming, and I've been looking for fruit on this Christian tree. Now, we all have good teaching. What's the fruit of a believer? Other believers. What's the fruit of a believer? He said, for 3 years I've been coming seeking fruit on this tree, and I haven't found any. Oh, it's getting fat on the teaching. It's getting fat on the word. It's getting fat on the nutrients that are in the vineyard. But it's not bearing any fruit. He says, why is it taking up the nutrients from those around it? He said, cut it down and throw it into the fire. Let's get a producing tree here. Cut it down. And then Jesus. Oh, my Jesus. My Jesus. My Jesus said, Lord, let it alone this year also. Let me dig around it a little bit. Let me fertilize it. Then, if it bears fruit, oh, wonderful. All's well. But if not, we'll cut it down. Aren't you glad that Jesus is in your corner? I got to thinking about that. I'm sitting there thinking about it, and I'm doing my best to overanalyze everything I could, and I'm sitting there thinking about it, and I was like, I went back, and if it hadn't been for a couple, three or four funerals in the last two or three years, I'm thinking, where is the fruit on JC? Where is the fruit here? If the fruit is other believers, two or three people at funerals, because they faced their end. I was privileged to lead them to Christ. And if that's the extent of my fruit over the last two or three years, if that's the extent of my fruit, who are we leading to the Lord? Okay, I'll hurry. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse number 1. And this has been a mainstay for us at the River, because we don't try to impress you with, I don't quote a lot of Greek. I don't use a lot of Hebrew. Because the Apostle Paul said, I'd rather say 10 words with the understanding, in the hope that you might gain the knowledge of Christ. I don't have to expound upon the Greek and the Hebrew. We have the English translation. Now, sometimes where that lacks, we'll fill it in the gap. But I don't have to. I didn't come to you with eloquent speech. And I don't. I never have. I did not come to you with excellent speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I consider it all as lost. The only thing I need to know in this life is that I once was lost, but now I'm found. And it was through the blood of Jesus that brought me back into the fold and made me acceptable before our God. I was a man without a country, the Bible says. We were people without a God. But in my worst, very worst possible time, figuratively speaking, a nail-scarred hand reached down. When my best friends had left me, when my family didn't depend on me and couldn't count on me, when I was less than nothing, a hand with a nail print reached down and said, I think you're worth dying for. Will you live for me? Will you live for me? And there's so many objections. Will I live for you? Well, I'll have to give up this, and I'll have to give up that, and I'll have to do this, and I'll have to do that. You know what? I was thinking this morning, we were getting ready, and my dog hates it when we leave now because we've been working from home. My dog hates it when we leave, and he knew we were getting ready, getting our shoes on. And I was thinking about that old song. You know what? I used to have to think, you know, I have to, you know, they made me go to church, and mom had pictures of little starchy ties and shirts, and I used to have to, they made me do this and they made me do that. You know, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday evening, Thursday night, had to be at church. I was, you know, it was just, they made me do this, they made, you know, there's been a transformation. I don't have to do anything. I get to. I get to. Vanessa, in our marriage, we've been married over 40 years. But at the 20-year mark, something happened. We didn't not love each other, but we were just separated. not separated physically. She was in one end of the house, I was in the other. We didn't. It always seemed like she would always tell me that she loved me first. She would always tell me. And I didn't. I didn't mind. I just didn't. I didn't understand that she needed that. And she started praying, Lord, would you bring JC back to me? And in a cancer ward at IU Simon, in the surgical ward, God did something to my heart because I didn't realize what I had till I just about lost it. And I don't have to tell her I love her anymore. But I get to. I told her this morning. I told her last night. Outside of the Lord, she's the best thing that ever happened to me. I don't have to tell her I love her. I get to. I'm privileged to. And likewise with you all. I don't have to tell you. When we were talking about loving you and praying for you, that's not a compulsion on my part. That's my heart. You're my heart. I love you. I love you. Jesus loves you. And therefore, I love you. Therefore, this church loves you. You're our brothers and sisters in Christ. There is a freedom, there is a liberty to love, not by force or not by compulsion. I get to. Do you have the privilege to get to love? To get to talk to our King? To get to know Him? And to hear Him talk with you. You see, I don't believe that God's quit talking. I believe that people have stopped listening. But there's a privilege. There's a privilege we get to. Amen? Apostle Paul said, I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. As of lately, let me find me one of these. As of lately, I've been with you in weakness. Now that's not real spiritual talk, is it? But the Apostle Paul said, when I'm weak, then I'm made strong. When I'm weak, I felt the strength coming toward us. I felt the Holy Spirit infiltrating our home, moving in our cars, moving in our midst. I felt the Holy Spirit of God impressing that there are people praying for you. And I could almost tell you when you were praying, when you lifted my name up. I was in weakness and fear and much trembling. My speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and power. This morning we were at Walmart getting the donuts for the church for Donut Sunday. And a preacher walked past me. Vanessa had been in there, you know, she can't go to Walmart without, you know, being in there, you know, hour and 42 minutes. Sorry, ladies. Y'all know it's true. How many of you literally know where the clearance aisles are, racks are at Walmart? The clearance aisles? Clearance?
Oh, I don't think
so.
All the way in the back?
Yeah. And they got like four or five of them back in the back. Now, as God is my witness, we didn't need a single thing. But she had to check out them clearance racks. Right? If I'm lying, I'm dying. So in the interim, a preacher walked by and he said, I beeped the horn at him and I said, "Hey, how you doing, preacher?" He's like, "Oh, hey, I didn't recognize you. Yeah. Heard you've been sick. Yeah, it's too bad." And kept on going. "Well, you didn't hear it all. "What?" The COVID, man, we had people around here taking care of us. That wasn't nothing. But the spiritual battle. The spiritual battle. I went to tell this quote unquote spirit filled preacher. "Oh yeah, you'll have that." "No, you don't understand. You see, if it was your lentil field, Shama, if it was your pea patch, and God gave you the victory, it's, you know what? I'm going to rejoice with you when you have a victory. I'm going to pray you through to victory. Then I'm going to rejoice with you. When you're in a valley, when you're in a trial, I'm going to be right there with you, arm in arm. I'm going to bug some of you to death." We had some other people go through COVID. I message them, text them every day. "You doing all right? You doing okay? You need me to come up?" I don't know how many people. I told Pastor Mike up in Grand Rapids, "Man, I'm not above it. Man, you need something, I'll do a door drop." And you know what was amazing? All that I'd done before come flooding back from people that I didn't even know cared. Oh, what a Savior. He's got people that care about you that you don't even know about yet. I felt a little bit like the prophet of God who said, "I alone am left and Jezebel's trying to kill me." And the Lord says, "Shut up. I've got 5,000 out there just like you that haven't bowed their knee to Baal." And you know what? When you start feeling that coming back and you start feeling, it's like, oh, praise God. The Bible's true. Amen. His word is true. God is faithful. He's our sovereign, soon returning King. Amen? Amen. That's the God that I serve. That's the God that I serve. And he gave me a testimony coming out of that. That is like something you have got to hear to believe. And I'll share it with you one of these days. Gave me a testimony. But that pastor down at Walmart didn't want to believe it. Didn't want to have time to hear that. Everybody goes through that. Everybody does that. Everybody does this. No, you don't understand. You don't understand. When he started talking like that, I knew immediately. He don't know the Lord that I know. He's got him up here. But I know. They who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. You'll never know the Bible until you know it through victory. You'll never understand it. You'll never come to terms with it. You'll always struggle with the new thing. You'll always struggle with the revelation, the revealed word. Let me close with this. I heard a man say, and I got it marked in my book, in 1997. That's a while ago, right? Some of y'all were still teenagers. Well, maybe not. In 1997, we should not be reciters of learned words. Too many people can quote the scriptures of God, but they have no deeper understanding. He said, we should not be the reciter of learned words, but rather witnesses of revealed things. 1997, God gave me what I would need in 2022, Pastor. Because it's not just enough. You know, I know people that can quote all kinds of scripture, but they don't have it in their heart. They can quote. I've got a friend right now that can quote half the Bible. It's up here, but it's not here. You know, one of the things that when my dad was going through dementia, we're coming up on his birthday this week, his birthday in heaven. When my dad was going through dementia, he couldn't remember my brother and sister a lot. He couldn't remember. He'd ask you every 5 minutes, did your boy get married? Yeah, Daddy, you were there. How's them babies? Now, he knew they had babies. Couldn't remember if they got married or not. But something that he had up here, the devil stole from him. But what he had here, tell them whether they hear or whether they prepare. Preach on, preacher. Preach on, preacher. Just a little while and we're all going home. You see, what you put in your heart, the devil can't steal away. What you try to put up here, the devil will take from you, or try to. Let me encourage you. Allow that which we stored up here in our mind to get down into our heart. Because the flesh is at enmity with God. It can't understand the things of the Spirit, and it never will. It's always warring. It's always, oh, that just doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense. How in the world could a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman have a baby? That don't make sense. You know? How in the world? We're getting ready to go into it in the next week or so. How in the world could Pharaoh be chasing behind with chariots and the Red Sea be right in front of the children of Israel? How's God going to make a way? You may wonder, you may be driven to wonder this year, oh Lord, how are you going to make a way? How are we going to escape this? But just know, as Moses declared to them, let me declare to you, stand still and see the salvation of our God. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you. Lord, we love you. Lord, I just thank you for each and every one that was gathered here today. Lord, I thank you for allowing my voice to hold out to spread this awesome message. Lord, may we today determine in our hearts that we don't need to know anything except Christ and Him crucified. Because that's all the knowledge that we need to make it through this world and into the next. And it's in Jesus' wonderful name that we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Is there anybody that has a prayer need?
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you have any questions or would like to reach out to us here at the River, you can email us at study@riverwc.org. Again, that's email to study@riverwc.org. God bless you.